Feeling kind of royally on this Monday night. What's going on, everybody? It is the Get Snap Podcast. I'm Darnell Sparrow. We got Antoine Smooth on the other end. What's going on, Pimp?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
It is Monday night. I am feeling good. Had a long day, a little tired, but I'm still feeling good because we got something that we have to talk about. Hence the theme music you heard in the background. WWE Hall of Famer Jerry the King Lawler 50th anniversary show September 26th. It's in Jackson, Tennessee. It's at the ballpark, home of the Jackson Generals. And let me say this, anybody will be at this event. If you are not at this event, you need to go to USA Championship Wrestling website. You need to go to the Facebook page, get more information, get that phone number, because all the field tickets are sold out. It's all general admission that's left. It's going to be $25. You need to go. I'm telling you, I mean names after names after names. And just to name a few, we're talking about Scott Steiner. Big Papa Pump's going to be there. The Total Package, Lex Luger. Good old JR Jim Ross, the superstar himself, Bill Dundee, Wolfie D, the great referee Jerry Calhoun, Randy Rose, Dory Funk Jr., and on top of all that, Kane is gonna be there. That's right, the big mayor, the big red machine, the mayor of Knox County will be at this event.
Man, that's a hoop.
And that's not even half the list. And I have an exclusive. I have the entire card for that event that we're going to talk about on this podcast. But before we get into that, payback was yesterday or last night. Three new champions crowned. Were any of those new champions a shocker to you?
Not really. Maybe I say one, probably the women's tag titles, because we predicted that Bayley and Sasha Banks will retain.
We did. And what made that match good, made that surprising, it's not the fact that they won, it's how they won. The fact that Shayna Baszler, and like I say, my first mind, I was going to pick them, but, you know, I went with the champs, or not as a former champs, but Shayna Baszler put them both in the submission, barely tapped out. Now, we're probably going to see what we've been wanting to see for a while, that Bayley-Sasha Banks feud, and I hope when they come to that match, I hope they have the same type of match they had at TakeOver before they got caught.
Yeah, that would be fun to see. Yeah.
I mean, we got, like I said, we got two champions. Shayna Baszler, Nia Jax women's tag, Bobby Lashley, two-time United States champion, and Roman Reigns, which you would have to be a fool to think that he was not walking out the Universal Championship. It's like I said in the previous podcast, had Paul Heyman not have gotten involved, I would have said, you know, the Fiend would have retained. But I cannot wait to see on SmackDown this Friday what Roman has to say. And definitely what Paul Heyman has to say, because when Paul Heyman speaks, you want to talk about promo class 101, it really doesn't get any better than Paul Heyman.
No doubt about that, man. Can't wait for Friday on SmackDown.
Then we have some interesting news. Mauro Ranallo out from NXT. That one surprised me a little bit, because it didn't really get the full inside scoop with that, but I know it was a mutual thing. Hence, while we saw Wade Barrett is looking to get the full-time deal. And if that's the case, would you like to see Wade Barrett in the ring? And if so, this is the question. If so, which entity of Wade Barrett would you like to see?
Well, I say this. Number one, yes, I would like to see him back in the ring. And number two, I like to see the old Wade Barrett, not the Bad News Barrett. You know, Bad News Barry was cool, don't get me wrong, but I want to see that Bruiser Wade Barrett, you know, okay, that take no prisoners.
You want to see that Nexus Wade Barrett.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah, because King Barrett, wasn't working, and Bad News Barrett was turning into a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I would definitely love to see him back in the ring. I would like to see him use his real name, but we know that's definitely not going to happen. For those that don't know, he was originally doing commentary for the National Wrestling Alliance, and not a lot of those guys. Now they have a deal working with AEW, so we're going to see a good mixture of the two brands, which I think is going to be real interesting. But we also got to talk about tomorrow night, the special NXT 60 minutes NXT Super Championship Tuesday. Super Tuesday 60 minutes NXT Championship. Gargano, Cole, Balor, Ciampa, who you got?
Oh, you put me on the spot, huh?
The podcast. On the spot.
Yeah, on the spot. Wow, man, this is a tough one here. Really, if I had to pick, I would say Tommaso Ciampa. I think he should get it, because that way, when Karrion Kross comes back from his injury, then those two can get going. But, man, anybody can win that match, though, either way. But my pick is Tommaso. So.
Well, my pick, and that's a good pick. You know, you're getting that Dark Horse pick. He's been out for a while. But the same thing like Roman Reigns. He was out for a while, came back, won the title. And Ciampa's coming back. Now he's getting a title shot. For me, I'm going with the longest reigning champion. I'm going with Adam Cole. I think Adam Cole, he made the belt look real good. He represented it well. And I think he deserves to, you know, get that two-time reign. So, but we're not cutting Gargano. We're definitely not cutting Finn Balor short. I mean, like you said, that's anybody. And who might even end with a winner.
All right.
I mean, and check this out. What do you think about this Brock Lesnar story? You know, Brock Lesnar, his contract is over WWE. Do you see him going anywhere else?
Not really. I think this may be it for him. But, you know, there were rumors saying that AEW may put a play out for him. But, and you know, the Khan family got a lot of money.
Lots of it.
So, and speaking, Brock could go over there. Yeah. But, you know.
And speaking of the Khan family, they cut Leonard Fournette today. Three running back, yeah. Jacksonville Jaguars, former LSU Tiger. I mean, it just down. I like the dude. I know this was kind of put into a situation where they just couldn't work it out. So I hope he goes somewhere. You know, he redeems himself, because he's not a bad back. He ran between him and Darius guys in LSU. They were handling their business. But like I said, 3 years didn't work. I'm curious to see, you know, what route they go since they cut him. Like he had his situations with that team, but I wish him all the best. But what you were saying about the cons and Brock Lesnar, it would look weird. No.
Yeah.
It would look weird to see Brock Lesnar in an AEW ring. It already looked weird when he was in Japan.
Yeah, true that.
But to see him, I mean, if he goes there, you know he's going for that dollar. Cause you know they tried with Goldberg. That's why Goldberg got that contract he got in for 2 more years,
right?
Because they knew had they not went that route, AEW was gonna get him. They already had pretty much his whole time frame set up for when he got there, and I wouldn't have been surprised he would have got the AEW title too.
Me too. That would just been another notch on this belt. So, yeah.
But as far as you know, these guys that's leaving, man, I wouldn't be surprised if we see Mauro Ranallo. I wouldn't mind he go to AEW. In what capacity, I don't know. Because I would love to see him, and Jim Ross side by side. I would love to see.
Oh, man. That's a dream commentary team right there.
That exactly. I mean, even if they just did them – for their big events. I would love to see Marinello, Jim Ross, at least one time. It would sound great. I wouldn't mind seeing him and Tony Schiavone. Put all three of them together.
Yeah. That'd be a nice blend, you know. A nice good blend of commentators there to, you know, especially with Mauro and his energy and JR with his energy and, you know, Tony with his old school, you know, commentating. Yeah.
Talk about past, present, future. It would get definitely any better than that. But let's talk about this show. As I said, September 26th, Jackson, Tennessee, USA Championship Wrestling is putting this on. Burr Prentice, you know Burr Prentice. You watched him coming up in those USWA days in Memphis. You know, he's been promoting for a long time. And I'm going to say that man does not get the credit he deserves.
No, he don't. He really puts his nose to the grindstone when it comes to promoting. Because I know he posted last night about, you know, if you don't get these tickets, you know, don't blame me, you know. Right. I'm trying to, yeah. So, y'all get these tickets, man, because, you know, Bert is, he's putting everything on the line on this.
And so, you got to remember that they can't use the entire baseball stadium because of COVID. So, there's very limited seats for this event. It's very limited seats. And like I said, I've never been to this field. So, but we went to my son and I went to the TV tapings yesterday. You know, they had a little spread. Instead of being 20, they were 20. I could not say no to that. I mean, that's one of those events that especially if you're an old school wrestling fan. Mm-hmm. If you're an old school wrestling fan, this is nostalgia 101.
Exactly.
I mean, and then the fact that they got Kane coming. I thought he was going to wrestle Lawler in the main event. I said, can we see it? Are we going to see are we going to see Glenn Jacobs, the mayor? Are we going to see Ozzie Yankum? Are we going to see that fake Diesel?
Maybe we may see
Corporate Kane. That we don't know, but what we do know is he was not going to miss this. I mean, he's really not that far.
No. From Knoxville to Jackson?
It's a couple hours, about two, three, four, maybe 4 hours at the mobile. I said, you'll know more than I do, but he's definitely going to be there. This card is stacked. This card is interesting, and we're going to talk about it. But I got it in order from the, I ain't going to say the whole, I don't want to call it my whole, I say from the boss's mouth. So let's get with it. They're going to kick off the show. Matt Boyce, great wrestler, great talent, against somebody you and I know very well. The man who says he is greater than great. Nope, I said that wrong. Is by God big, great.
Okay, there you go. There you go.
And we're talking about Derrick King. And a lot of people may say, is that the curtain jerker type match? No. I mean, think about it. This is the 50th anniversary, 1970. I wasn't born yet. You wasn't born yet.
Nope.
I was born in 79. So by the time I was on this earth, Lawler was dominating already. Had the thick thigh burns.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, we know Derrick King. I definitely like to have him on the show and talk to him. But like I said, they're going to have to set the tone for the whole night. When you open up a show, you have to set it and have these two guys. I mean, I respect them both. We know Derrick King's been around for a while. Matt Boyce, I've seen him. I'm doing shows for USA Championship Wrestling. He was once a USA Tag Team Champion with Jake Law, now known as Flawless Lawless. We'll get into that later on in the show. But what do you think about Derrick King getting the opportunity to do Jerry Law's event? Like I said, you know him and I know him. Thoughts?
Well, tell you this, man. You know, like you said, Derrick King been around for a long time. He's been pretty much everywhere. OVW, WWE, Power Pro Wrestling.
Had his own reality show.
And for him to go into the ring against Matt Boyce, that's definitely two talents that's going to definitely set the tone for that night. And People don't give Derrick King the credit that he deserves because he is really, and he's got a mind for the business as well. I remember one time I peeped, you know, I got into his head and asked him questions, and he told me, you know, it, and he got the knowledge. He's not a simpleton by no means. He's a very smart individual. So
I remember the first time I met Derrick King is when, you know, I moved to Tennessee. I moved to Millington. You go back to the TSWA when they were doing those shows at Casper Creek in Millington.
Oh, yeah.
And before I started doing commentary, I was going to the shows. And I remember, and then when he was doing a Mountain Dew-like gimmick, but he'll drink the Mountain Dew and he'll gain his strength back and win matches.
Right,
like what, 2002, late 2002, early 2003,
around that time. Yeah.
So you think about it. If I met him then, it's 2020. That's a long time to be wrestling.
I'm telling you, and he still got it too, man. Kick ain't going nowhere.
Oh no, definitely still got it. I remember those Mr. Personality days in Power Pro when you come out to the Shawn Michaels music. I thought was hilarious.
Yeah, well,
I was like, shout out to Gimmick Infringement if I ain't never saw her.
Tell me about it.
Well, let's go on to the next match. We got the big man, Double D, Danny Dollar. And he's going one-on-one with former WWE star, the man who beat AJ Styles not once, not twice. But three times. I'm talking about James Ellsworth. Now he's been working with USA Championship Wrestling for a while. Had the opportunity, you know, a few shows ago to actually, you know, just have a talk with him. My son is a big fan of him, so he knew James was there. I had to take him there. But I mean, believe it or not, I mean the guy is charismatic, especially as a heel. Definitely as a heel, and I'm not sure if we're gonna have Lucky P. Lawson Esquire in his corner for this event. But, you know, you got Danny Dollar, big man. He can hit the cutter. I'm not going to call it the RKO. He has the cutter, and I didn't see him snap it on some folks, and he will drill your head into that mat. But he has experience. James Ellsworth has experience. So this can be one of those either way kind of matches.
Yeah, I agree with that. I know Danny Dollar. I worked with him a few times. He's a great worker. He's a nice guy, you know. So this match here should be something to see here. This may be the dark horse match here.
Yeah,
No doubt about it.
Okay, we heard it here first on the Get Now podcast. You're saying this might be the dark horse match. I said, but we definitely know that nobody up in USA Championship Wrestling does not like James Ellsworth. We definitely know right. that. So Danny Dollar would definitely have the crowd behind him on this one, but. Now this match,
he can work. So
he definitely can go. He definitely got to look at him. He's really a young man. He just look older than what he really is.
Exactly.
like I say, he's charismatic. He's hilarious to talk to. Pre-show, real nice guy. But this Southern Heavyweight Championship match. Now, for those who don't know, maybe about a year, not long than that, they bought back the Southern Heavyweight Championship. Now, anybody that's been around this area, you know that the Southern Heavyweight Championship on many occasions has been more significant than the heavyweight title. I mean, if you put your name on the list and say, I was Southern Heavyweight Champion, we could go out just talking about the names that has held this Southern Heavyweight title and to have USA bring it back. I mean, same belt, no, the little small belt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's great. So we have the Southern Heavyweight Champion, Matt Starr, going one-on-one with the young man, great athlete, young Luke Cage.
Okay.
I mean, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I'm used to him teaming up with his brother, you know. So to see this going to be kind of different for me, you know, personally.
With his brother, most definitely. And Luke Cage, this is, to me, like I said, the matches I've seen him in, this to me probably going to be one of the biggest matches of his career. I mean, he has the potential of becoming Southern Heavyweight Champion, but what he can do is lose focus. He has to stay on the attack because Matt Starr, like I said, used to teaming up with his brother, who is, by the way, the USA Championship Wrestling Heavyweight Champion, but he has his match. But yeah, I remember when I first met those guys, those were some skinny dudes at one time, but they didn't put some weight on them. They're doing the wrong thing. And Luke Cage has to be prepared. I mean, if it was me just knowing that I'm going after a legendary title like this, I mean, butterflies wouldn't even be the word for it. I mean, how would you feel if you knew that you were getting a chance at a legendary championship?
Man, I wouldn't know how to feel because, like you said, butterflies ain't the word. I have bats in my stomach.
I have rats, bats, gnats, everything.
Right.
I mean, what do you think Luke Cage has to do to win the Southern Heavyweight title? I mean, like I said, he's young. I mean, great. Mm-hmm. He looked like if Randy Orton, pre-Viper, pre-Legend Killer, that young mm-hmm. Randy Orton, you would think that's him.
Right.
So this is a big opportunity for him. So, again, to my question, what do you think mm-hmm. he has to do?
Well, he just got to stay focused because Matt gonna, I mean, he going to be focused as well. So he just need to stay focused. He just need to not get distracted. None distract him. And then if he does that, he may actually win the title.
And if he does, that would shock professional wrestling. That would shock USA Championship Wrestling. That stadium, that ballpark, I would say would blow the roof off, but there is no roof. But mm-hmm. they'll blow the seats off. He'll blow that field up if he can somehow defeat Matt Starr becoming Southern Heavyweight Champion on Jerry Lawler's 50th anniversary night. That will make it even better.
Right.
Then we have the USA Tag Team title match. Now, this one is going to be interesting. So I'm going to tell you the name, and you'll hear it. I'm going to just tell you now, don't laugh, because when I heard mm-hmm. it, I was cracking up laughing. I said, no, that's not their name, but it is. It has an acronym, and you know the guys that sent it. But we have the Essentials, which is Jason Genesis and Honcho Hensley, and we're going to talk about that team. That team was kind of put together on a whim, one got in trouble, one helped them out. They became a team. They became the USA Tag Team Champions. They look great together. They work well together. Honcho Hensley, former USA Championship Wrestling Heavyweight Champion in his own right, they're going to be defending the belt against the – I want you to brace yourself. Now, you've heard of SVU, right?
Right.
Well, they're going to go up against a team called SUV. Straight up violence, which is a three-man team of Gunnar Lane, Chris Styles, and Justin Savage. I don't know which two of the three is going to go after the belts. I'm going to take a shot at it. Probably going to be Styles and Savage, but they're getting the opportunity to go after those belts, and they formed when Chris Styles came back. Because Gunnar Lane, his whole focus was the USA Heavyweight title. Chris Styles came back. Justin Savage joined in that group. Now they just coming. They just beating everybody up. So Jason Genesis, Honcho Hensley has to be careful. They have to be careful who's ever on outside on that apron.
Right.
And definitely a challenge. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just saying that, and then to your point with Chris Styles, I know Chris Styles. I've actually managed him before. Yes, I have.
Okay.
This was my early, I say around maybe 2010, 2011,
mm-hmm.
around that time. And yeah, the man can work. He's a great worker. He can talk. He can make the people mad at him. He almost started riots.
Oh, yes, that he does. And I'm surprised Studio 45 is still standing with those. Mm-hmm. But that's, like I said, Honcho and Jason, they got to be careful on the outside. They have to focus because those tag team belts is on the line. You don't want that, how Gorilla Monsoon used to say, that lose your share of the purse.
Right.
And that big purse.
It's gonna definitely be pandemonium that night too. Yeah.
The championship, the more money comes with it. So luck to those teams. But here's an interesting one. You talk about a freak show. Boogeyman. Yes, I'm a WWE star. Boogeyman is going one-on-one with the Joker. With Lucky, he lost in his corner. Now, you talk about two, I'm not even going to say contrast in style, because they pretty much have that same mindset. But you have the Boogeyman and the Joker. Now, the last time I saw Boogeyman, he was originally the opponent for Lawler. It ended up being a tag match because Boogeyman didn't want to listen to Lucky P. Larson. Now, if anybody has ever met Boogeyman, you know I have. Yeah, you see the look. And yes, he will scare the crap out of you. But when you start talking to him, it's like you wouldn't even think, okay, this guy eats worms, plays with worms. And yes, the worms will be in the house.
Oh God.
I mean, but you can't look at this guy. This guy's one in his 50s now. Gotta be, right. Because he was 40 when he did Tough Enough. So you gotta be, he's in his 50s. Mm-hmm. I mean, this man is in some awesome shape.
Yes, he is. I mean, he looks younger. He looks like he got the body of maybe a late 20-year-old, you know?
And a lot of people say, well, he doesn't have the wrestling moveset, but for the Boogeyman, you don't need it. He has everything else that can make him a star. And for him to go against the Joker, Lucky P, if you're in the corner of the Joker, you remember what happened last time you tried the Boogeyman. You remember this. You hear this. You might want to have a plan B, C, and D if you want Joker to beat the Boogeyman. Because like I said, the worms are coming out. And worst case scenario, if he don't get the Joker, he's gonna get to you, and you know you're gonna have some little friends all up on you in your mouth, and that worm taste, from what I hear, is hard to get out your mind. It's hard to get out your mouth. Just washing out with the mouth wash is not gonna cut it. I've had people that's experienced the Boogeyman. I ain't gonna put them out on black because I know it's a memory they want to get rid of. But they've told me that is something you cannot forget. So that's gonna be a freak show, but I can't wait. Now we have a six man. We got, I call this past versus the present. You got Dylan McQueen and former USA Tag Team Champions, the Brothers of Seduction, Cam the Prince. And the mother lover, Jake Tucker, they're going up against, get ready for this, Dr. Tom Pritchard, D'Lo Brown, and Mr. USA Tony Atlas.
What?
Yes. I say that again. Dylan McQueen and the Brothers of Seduction, Cam the Prince and Jake Tucker, Dr. Tom Pritchard, D'Lo Brown, and Mr. USA Tony Atlas. Do I need to say any more?
No, you don't. That's it. I mean, what is there to say? You got three legends. Dr. Tom Pritchard, of course, we all know him when he was with the Heavenly Bodies with Stan Lane, and of course later Gigolo Jimmy Del Rey, God rest his soul.
Yeah, we can't forget about Zip. I mean, you can't get about it. And you can even go back when he was in here in the USWA, when he was going after, which is going to the Texas heavyweight title, and he was going after the Southern heavyweight title. I mean, he has some great feuds down here. But we're going to sell a question that I know a lot of people talked about, and he even brought up. Does he sound like Roddy Piper?
He really does. When you hear him talk, he just, oh, I thank you. You know, yeah, he really does.
I mean, you go back to those early 90 days. If you close your eyes and they said, which one is Piper and which one is Tom Pritchard? I mean, it was all new. But like you said, three legends. One of them is a Hall of Famer, a WWE Hall of Famer. I'm talking about Mr. USA. And go back and watch those matches with Tony Atlas and Soul Man Rocky Johnson.
Mm-hmm. First
African-American tag team champions in history. I mean, when they beat the Wild Samoans, if I'm not mistaken, excuse me, they beat the Wild Samoans, that was history.
It was, because the Wild Samoans were tough. They were some tough guys.
Probably the most dangerous tag team back in that era. But Tony Atlas, back in the day, when you talk about jacked up.
Yeah, this man was a monster. He is. And Rocky Johnson, he was, you know, he was one too.
No doubt.
He had a body as well.
Oh, you had to, you talk about power and speed combined.
Right.
It doesn't get any better. But a lot of people in current time may know him from one of our favorite talk shows in history, the Abraham Washington Show on ECW. And he talking, and somebody might get mad. He talking like he was still, he's still stuck in, like he didn't know what to say. Like he was trying to read the cue card. He was like, yeah, he set back. I'm like the education system almost failed you, Tony. But
I'm telling you,
but believe it or not, if you ever listen to him talk and tell stories, you talk about knowledge. I know he had a lot to say when Bruiser Brody died.
Yeah.
I mean, if you check out the Dark Side of the Rings. I mean, another thing, if you haven't seen none of those Dark Side of the Rings, you need to. I mean, those stories, I mean, a lot of stuff you would definitely find out. But like I said, that's youth. I'm going to call that youth versus experience. And to me, I'm sorry, youth, you have no chance. I mean, Cam the Prince, I mean, he's a big boy himself.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Tucker, probably one of the guys I do like. He comes off the mother lover. And Dylan McQueen, you know, he's very, what's the word I want to use? Flamboyant, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't play that game against these legends. They've seen it all. They've done it all. Yeah, they might be a little older, but they probably have forgotten more than their opponents probably will ever learn as a whole.
Exactly.
Now
that should be a good match.
Now you talk about show stealers. You do talk about dark horse matches. This one right here is one that I'm really interested in seeing, and I'm gonna be biased on this one because I know one of the opponents. I gotta get a chance to talk to her. You know, get a chance to see her more live. But this is champion versus champion. NWA Ladies Champion Thunder Rosa is going one-on-one with the new inaugural USA Championship Wrestling Ladies Champion, the Bad Street Beauty, Miranda Gordy.
Yeah, I already know who your pick is. You ain't even got to say anything.
Yep. Anybody that's been fond of, you know who my pick is going to be on this. But think about this. Thunder Rosa, she's about to have a nice list, because this Saturday she's going one-on-one with Sheeta for the AEW Women's title.
Right.
And then you fast forward a couple of weeks, you're going up against the USA Ladies Champion Miranda Gordy. I mean, and like I said, Miranda Gordy, she's been traveling. She's been going out doing her thing. And I want people to understand, for those who don't know who this young lady is, second generation wrestler. Father is the late, great Hall of Famer. Talking about one of the baddest men on the planet, Terry Bam Bam Gordy. And yeah, she still rocks the Freebird stuff. She still represents the Freebirds well. And she did something yesterday that I'm going to use the term I kind of marked out on.
What you do?
She put her dad's finisher, that Oriental Spike.
Oh, yeah.
She put the Oriental Spike on. And I was like, see, I'm like, I haven't seen that move in a long time. But when I saw put that move on, I said, yes.
I know you jumped out of your chair for that.
Like I said, probably one of the nicest people you've ever wanted to meet. I mean, she has a, to say she's been running for a little over a year, she has a strong fan base, especially in that Texas, Oklahoma area. You know, but her father is actually buried in Chattanooga.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, this is going to be definitely going to be a great match. I mean, it can go either way. It can go either way. And Thunder Rosa, one of the hottest female wrestlers out right now. Like I said, she's the NWA Ladies Champion. Now, let's talk about that for a minute. Now, you seen their belt. They kept it real old school with the picture on the belt. Do you like that? Because, you know, before they had a smaller belt, like a smaller gold belt, but they went back old school. But do you like that? I'm going to call that the Fabulous Moolah belt.
Yeah, I like it. They're trying to, you know, keep it, you know, rooted, you know. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with it at all.
Now, I would love to see once Miranda gets her belt, I'd love to see her championship belt once she actually gets it. But, yeah, that's definitely, to me, I think that's going to be the dark horse match.
Okay.
I think that's definitely going to be the dark horse match. But earlier we talked about Matt Starr being the Southern Heavyweight Champion. Now we got his brother, Nathan Starr. He's going one-on-one against Flawless Lawless, Jake Law, formerly known as Jake Law.
Mm-hmm.
They call him Karen. And I guess that's the new Paula.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they call him Karen. And I'll tell you why in a minute. He has Lucky Pete Lawson Esquire in his corner. Now, Jake Law, as many times I went to USA Championship Wrestling, one of the most popular dudes there. He had the long blonde hair, had the rock star look, very popular. Mm-hmm. One day he just snapped. Snapped on Bird Prentice, beat up Bird Prentice, cut his hair. He looks like a soccer. Wow. He cut his hair short. Looks like a soccer mom now.
Wow.
I would never thought that kid would actually turn heel, but he's reinvented himself, changed his name to Flawless Lawless. He got one of the best managers in the business, Lucky Pete. A lot of people don't like him. I like him. I said, then he's an attorney, so I may need a lawyer for something. Definitely will come. But he has a big opportunity. And let me say this. I'm gonna call it. We will see a new USA Heavyweight Champion that night. Flawless Lawless will beat Nathan Starr on Jerry Lawler's 15th anniversary. Why? Because he has Lucky P in his corner, and Lucky P knows. Lucky P is one of those managers that he knows when to strike when the iron's hot. I know he knows how to tick the fans off, and he knows how to get under a lot of wrestler skin. So
kind of like that Bobby Heenan type of manager.
I think he's Bobby Heenan, but with a little bit more aggression. We'll put it that way. He had a little bit more aggression on him. I mean, he can work that microphone, and he can definitely, like I said, especially when his guys win matches, he already has the fans already mad at him. But he knows when to strike, when that iron's hot. So I'm saying it. Flawless Lawless will be the new USA Heavyweight Champion. But we got to talk about the main event. It's a six-man tag. And it will be inside of Thunder Cage. And you've seen that cage.
Mm-hmm. I've seen it,
For those that haven't seen it, this cage is huge. Now, you know, most cages is closed in. You know, you either can, you have to basically climb the cage from the ropes, but this one is more spaced out.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge. The thing is huge, but it's a six-man main event. So this is Jerry Lawler's 15th anniversary main event. And these are three guys he's had a lot of history with. On the other side, you're talking about the lover boy, Matt Riviera, Wildfire Tommy Rich, and Dangerous Doug Gilbert are going to the Thunder Cage against Jerry the King Lawler and the Rock and Roll Express, with Jimmy Hart in their corner. And
man, what a main event.
I'm going to just say it right there. And let me say something about the Rock and Roll Express. Preferably Ricky Morton.
Mm-hmm.
Ricky Morton still wrestles like this is still 1986.
Yeah, he got that mindset, man. That's, you know, he gonna stay old school till he die. You know, that's how he is.
And I was on cloud nine when they won the NWA tag belts.
When they beat what's that team? The Dawson brothers, what they call? That's them.
No, they won the Dawson. I can't remember what time because it's been a minute since they did it, but
no, I remember Thomas Lattimore and
they beat TCB.
That's who they beat.
Royce Isaacs. Mm-hmm. There it is. Thomas Lattimore and Royce Isaacs.
There you go.
Before they became taking care of business under the champ Nick Aldis, but them winning at their rages was awesome. And the team that beat them was even better, I believe, with Triple Threat, but it was Eli Drake, which is my fault. Right now, is my favorite wrestler right now.
Mm-hmm.
That dude needs to. That dude, I would have loved to see him, you know, doing SmackDowns. He would have ran NXT. He would have ran NXT. You talk about somebody that's charismatic and got it together. I mean, got it all. That was one of the
imagine him and Mr. Anderson as a tag team. Jeez.
Oh no, they'll be feuding over the mic. I would love to see Eli Dre and The Rock go mic for mic.
That'll be good.
I would love to see that. That is a prediction. Eli Drake and The Rock. Man, y'all could do it. Y'all could do it on webcam. Just let the people just see y'all just have a mic battle. That's what we need to do. Right. They got all these verses battles with everybody singing, everybody rapping. Can we get some promo verses? Can we get the best promo talkers in the business? Get on camera and y'all just go at each other. And we can dictate, you know, who's the best. But like I said, this is Thunder Cage. Six-man tag. And like I said, Matt Riviera wanted Lawler so bad. He wanted his main event, didn't get him. So now does he have him? You have the youngest NWA heavyweight champion in history.
You mm-hmm. got
the dangerous one, still has the bat.
Oh, yeah. You
know he has history with Lawler. And he mm-hmm. brings in the Rock and Roll Express and Jimmy Hart. I mean, in your mind, I mean, now let's tell our guest Snap Gans, I mean, what when you hear that, what goes through your mind?
What, the whole match?
Yeah, just the whole itself. Match and the participants.
Man, that is something to watch because you have, even, like I said, they're all legends. Every one of them, the Gilberts especially, you know, with Doug and, of course, his brother Eddie got history with Jerry. You know, of course, Loverboy can't stand Jerry. And you got Wi-Fi Tommy Rich. You know, he was the guy. If I'm going to go back a little bit, if you don't mind.
Go for it.
All right. Tommy Rich and Austin Idol it was a hair versus hair match between Lawler and Austin Idol.
Yeah.
And you talk about somebody that almost caused a riot. Tommy Rich was a babyface at the time. But when he came up from under the ring and helped Austin Idol, dude, I thought they would have to call the National Guard that night.
And correct me if I remember, wasn't that the Mid-South Coliseum?
Right. And Paul Lee Dangerously was there. Yeah. And it was chaos.
And let's get the people to understand. The Mid-South Coliseum, you want to talk about meccas of wrestling. You want to talk about Memphis. Memphis is, you want to talk about wrestling capital of the world. If you came through Memphis, you was wrestling at Mid-South Coliseum. That place, I hope if what they talked about, you know, redoing the Mid-South Fairgrounds, you know, adding hotels, adding, you know, bigger parking spaces, and even redoing the Mid-South Coliseum. And you know better than me. you know, this is your backyard. Mm-hmm. Going to that Mid-South Coliseum on a Monday night is like going to a Super Bowl every year.
Back in the day, that was our WrestleMania.
You couldn't get in on a Monday night.
Mm-hmm. Sold out.
I mean, legend after legend. You talk about guys from the AWA came there. Guys from World Class came there. Mm-hmm. You had guys from the WWF showed up. And if you I remember when the Hitman came to the USWA. Matter of fact, I remember when Owen Hart, God rest his soul, was here, and he was the unified champion.
Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah.
I mean, we can go through the list because Ron was USWA tag champion. Ahmed Johnson, unified champion. I mean, there were guys mm-hmm. that came from the WWF at the time, came down. You was gonna win that unified championship. You came down, you was gonna win that unified title.
Mm-hmm.
You had to go through Lawler to do it.
That's right.
Cause I remember who was another Tatanka.
Tatanka was unified champion.
Yeah, Tatanka was unified champion, and when he was unified champion, he was a heel in Memphis, but was a face in the WWE.
Right. Because this was before he joined the $1 Million Corporation.
Right. He was still babyface and came down and won. Matter of fact, he was still undefeated.
Mm-hmm. Still undefeated.
Was still undefeated at that time and was the unified heavyweight champion. Go look that up if you don't believe me. That was definitely one of those things. Was like, yeah. I mean, guys like Luger, when he was the narcissist, he came down to Memphis.
That's right.
Like I said, and I know this because, you know, I have a lot of the Memphis stuff on DVD. I definitely did my work on YouTube. You just type up USWA, you're going to get a lot of knowledge. Even if it went back to when they were in Texas, and when they used to come back to Memphis. But like I said,
there was a CWA and all that.
Yeah, you got the CWA. Mm-hmm. But, you know, go back to the main event. What you have here for a lot of the younger people, what you have here is nostalgia. What you have here, if this was back in the late 70s, the 80s, and you put this match at the Mid-South Coliseum, you talk about the word sellout, it would have been a sellout.
For me, from personal experience, since this is my territory here, you know, that main event would have sold out in less than 5 minutes,
maybe 10. Because all they had to do, because here in Memphis, and again, you can agree with me on this, all you had to do was advertise one match. Had to do was advertise the main event. Whatever that main event was going to get you to come.
Mm-hmm.
And 9 times out of 10, Jerry Lawler was in that main event. He was in that main event or in a semi, but we had to know who Jerry Lawler was wrestling, because you talk about how people say why he's the king. You come down to Memphis, you can't say nothing bad about Jerry Lawler. You can't do it. And like I said, if you run into him, I mean, he will shake your hand. I met him in Aqua. I remember I met him when I was coming back from Virginia one time. He was in first class. He had his WWE shirt on. And he was just sitting there. And I'm like, excuse me, King. Shook his hand. How you doing? But he was real nice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then you go to his restaurant, the bar and grill downtown, which if you're in Memphis, you need to go check that place out. Because, again, we talk about history. That's history.
He got all the memorabilia from his career and got other stuff, too, from back in the day in Memphis wrestling. You talking, it's like a museum as well. Not only is a restaurant, it's a museum.
Which he actually had in Tunica, if you remember. Mm-hmm. I mean, we went there. He had the throne. He had all his robes, his capes, the titles, all the flyers mm-hmm. and everything. Because mm-hmm. for those who know what I'm talking about, he had a Jerry Lawler Museum in one of the casinos out there in Tunica. Mississippi. Like, it wasn't right. huge, but it was big enough where if you came down there, if you knew it was there, you was going.
Right.
And I said, like you said,
so he moved all that to the restaurant.
Like he moved yeah. all that to the Jerry Lawler's Bar and Grill on Beale Street. Like I said, he has a smaller, a fast food type restaurant out in this area where I live, a part of Memphis, but food is good.
Right, North Germantown Parkway.
Yeah, that's yeah. right, up there at Germantown Parkway, Tennessee. Then, like I said, you go down to the Bar and Grill, live music, entertaining. It stays busy. And I mean, it's on mm-hmm. Beale Street, and you might look up and actually see him there. Haven't got lucky yet.
Right.
But, I mean, you never know. But one of the biggest things that we did, because you was with me at the time, we went to Jerry Law's Bar and Grills. We got to see the late, great Lance Russell.
Man, look, that was an experience that I will never, ever forget.
Yeah, but I still have the autograph he signed. And the fact that we got to meet him before he passed away, I mean, that's one of those things you could check off the box. Because you want to talk right. about somebody that knows this business.
Mm-hmm.
Get any better than Lance Russell.
God rest his soul, man.
Yeah, definitely God rest his soul. But, yeah, what I gave you tonight was an exclusive. This was the full card that Bert Prentice put out. That is the full card for Jerry Lawler's 50th anniversary. Let that sink in.
Mm-hmm.
50 years. I'm 41. That one, he started running in 1970.
That's right.
2020 still going.
Still going strong.
A lot of his colleagues are not even here anymore.
Mm-mm.
We almost lost. Now you want to get that? We almost lost him when he had the heart attack on live TV. That could have been
right.
But he's
exactly.
that. I mean, he's still out here performing, and a lot of people say, you know, why is he still doing it? Because he do like the high school gyms. He do these little small shows. He's not mm-hmm. like he need the money,
right?
I mean, I think
he do it because he loves it.
Because he don't have to do this anymore. He's in the Hall of Fame. Jerry Lawler had nothing to prove, and a lot of people would say, well, you know. He don't need to be doing it no more. And you're right, he don't need to. And he's not ashamed to go out here and do these little shows.
Right.
He don't even have to be packed. He's going to do it, but that's what he likes. He loves wrestling. I mean, I know the guys that's wrestling him, especially the ones for the first time, I know they geeked up. But he don't have to do this, but he loves it. And that's one of the things I respect about him. He knows who he is. He's not one of those guys. You always talk about that that don't want to give up their quote unquote spot. He's one of those guys. Mm-hmm. Still, like, when it's my time. But here's a million-dollar question for you. When Jerry Lawler do retires, who do you think is going to get the throne? Who's going to be the next king?
Yeah, wow, man, that's some big shoes to fill.
Exactly,
and. I don't think anybody can take Jerry Lawler's spot. No. Not one person. I can't think of nobody.
I mean, we got a lot of guys out there that are calling themselves the king, but we talking about Memphis, Tennessee.
Right.
I say if anybody could take it, but like I said, he's not really that much, would be Bill Dundee, but they pretty much in the same age bracket. Because he's the one that's beat Jerry Lawler the most.
Right, I would say Bill, yeah, because, you know, Bill pretty much is next to Jerry as far as that name in Memphis, you know. Because you name Memphis wrestling, you can say Bill Dundee as well. So, yeah, he's next to him. You know, he's right there in line with Jerry. So,
you know, I always wonder if Eddie Gilbert was still alive. What would he be doing right now?
I think he'll still be wrestling. Also, he may be doing a little promoting too.
Right.
I think he'll have his own little wrestling company and Also, he probably be wrestling himself, you know. Probably, I see him maybe do the indie shows, maybe, you know.
Right.
Probably a special guest like of a Ring of Honor or maybe an AEW or something. Just to pay homage to him.
Right.
Yeah. I can see him doing that.
Now, I'm curious to see, you know, with all this COVID stuff going on, I would love to see when they do it again, who's going into the Memphis Wrestling Hall of Fame? Because basically the names that's there now, we already know they belong there. They're in. I'm just curious to see who's going to be next on that list for the Memphis Hall of Fame. Because like I said, there's a lot of names.
Yeah, we can go on all night about that.
We can go all night. Matter of fact, that might be another show, you know, that we could definitely talk about. Because like I said, the people that we know now, most of those names that we named are pretty much in that Hall of Fame. But that's one of those things we need to go back, look at those old CWA shows, look at those old USWA shows, and ask yourself who belongs in the hall, in that Hall of Fame. But I do have one. Matter of fact, I got two. And if anybody, you know, is affiliated with this, if you listening, you need to put PG-13 in the Memphis Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely need to put PG-13. Because you talk about one of those over tag teams.
Yeah.
Even when they did the Nation thing, but you're talking about a over tag team, they definitely need to go in the Memphis Wrestling Hall of Fame. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because, yeah, knowing, like I said, knowing from experience, PG-13 was super hot back then. I mean, super hot. You had the hubcaps, the shorts, you know, all the graffiti clothes that they used to wear.
The goofy hat.
And they talking about and the goofy hats and stuff. Yeah, they were super popular back in the day. Multiple time USWA tag team champion.
Right. Wolfie D, I mean, JC Ice or JC Ice Baby. What do you call it? He was a USWA television champion. Yeah. You know, Wolfie D, or Sir Wolfie D, you know, he held the USWA heavyweight title for a moment.
That's right.
When he was in the Nation. So, yeah, those guys definitely need to go. So, anybody that's affiliated, y'all need to get that out. We need to get PG-13. Whenever they decide to do the Memphis Hall of Fame again, they definitely need to go. They definitely need to go. And I'm going to, and I can't remember on top of my head if he's in already. If not, I'm pretty sure he's going to be next round, Brian Christopher.
Oh, no doubt. Rest in peace to Brian. He was very popular, but also he was very hated as well. He can play both sides.
Oh, yes.
Tag team champion, USWA heavyweight champion. He was a unified champion as well.
He was the Texas champion. Yeah. This dude at one time was holding some belts.
Yeah, he was.
Because a lot of people really, I think a lot of people underestimated Brian Christopher. I surely think the WWF did at first. Excuse me, when he first arrived and he was doing the Too Sexy and he was going up the light heavyweight title. I think they kind of slept on him for a minute.
Yeah, they did.
Once it
was when he joined Too Cool, that's when it elevated him.
Yeah, because
when him and Scotty Too Hotty teamed up.
Yeah, because when they were too much, I think they was trying. I think they're still trying to find themselves.
Yeah.
But when they became Too Cool and Eddie Rikishi, I mean, it was done. I'm glad the fact they were able to win the WWF at the time tag team titles. I was glad. I mean, two small guys.
Yeah.
They were out there acting silly, but they were having fun. They loved doing it. And you know, just the fact that, I mean, the fact that Brian Christopher is gone.
I'm still shocked to this day about that.
I mean, that was another guy. I mean, we still don't know what really happened, but either way, it's unfortunate. Right. He was still a young man. He was still going. Like I said, nice guy. You know, you have some people that had the quote unquote stories about him, but in the times I got to meet him, I mean, he was super nice.
Mm-hmm.
But yep, ladies and gentlemen, that what you got tonight, like I said, wasn't exclusive. This is probably one of the few places you heard the entire card for Jerry Lawler's 50th anniversary show. Again, September the 26th, 7:30 bell time. It is at the ballpark, Jackson, Tennessee, home of the minor league team, the Jackson Generals. So go to the Facebook page, USA Championship Wrestling. I believe their website is usacw.com. Get more information on how to get tickets. I got mine. You know, me and my mom, we will definitely be there. I hope you guys go there and support. If you are a wrestling fan, especially if you old school, you definitely need to be there, because I promise you this, you're going to regret it. Sunday, on the 27th, you're going to regret, like, damn it, I wish I should have went.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But we about to shut it down for the night. Again, thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys once again for supporting the show. But you got anything you want to say before we roll out?
Yeah, I just want to send a shout out to the folks, the victims of Hurricane Laura,
no doubt,
especially around northern Louisiana. They got hit pretty bad, and I just want to send prayers to the family and friends of the people that's been affected by this devastating storm. I know you know northern Louisiana pretty well. They said they was hit pretty bad.
They definitely was hit pretty bad. And, you know, good thing you brought that up. And I definitely agree. You know, my prayers go out to those who've lost someone. My prayers go out. If you lost your belongings, I was a victim of Hurricane Katrina. So I definitely understand how it feels, especially when you have to start over. But just remember this. Items can be replaced. Your life cannot.
That's right.
I mean, that's a very important thing. That's something that was always told to me. That's something I've always kept in my heart. Your life could never be replaced. So like you said, we're praying for y'all. We hope that you can get back on your feet. I know you're going to get back on your feet. I'm not even going to say hope. I know, you know, if this affected you, you're definitely going to get back on your feet. And I know the community is going to get together. They're going to team up. They're going to do what they can. There's one thing about, you know, especially, you know, I'm from Louisiana. I'm from New Orleans. One thing about Louisiana is we definitely know how to bounce back. So, again, prayers to y'all. But on that note, we are out of here. And like I said, we may talk about who's going to be in the Memphis Hall of Fame. But, of course, got to do research on that, because I don't want to put somebody in that's already in. But
all right.
Until then, I'm Darnell, Antoine on the other end. And this has been the Gift Snap Podcast. And we're out of here.
Peace.